It's OMF on EEI.
Patriots Friday right here on OMF. It's time for our weekly conversation with our buddy Mike Lombardi, sponsored by Tom Fair Tire and by Zuti. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And joining us on the Harbor One hotline is indeed Mike Lombardi. Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys. How we doing?
Hello, Mike. We're reeling a little bit.
How's Lou holding up with his analysis? I'd like Lou to be able to ask Belichick the same questions he asked me. I hope he does. I mean, you know, it was
Yeah, Mike, I was real impressed with that win over Miami. I mean, it was a nice win, but they're not a good football team. We know that.
You think that. You go ahead. Use your expertise. Don't put me in your boat. I don't see that. I thought that was a good win for them.
Yeah. What'd you find out?
Beat them in
Here's my question.
When they played last year. Like all the same concerns when you bring him on that you ask me, and I think it's fair. Now I know when I hang up, I get ripped. I understand that. It's like when you call our buddy Mike Lombardi comes on, and then I get ripped when I hang up the phone. So I don't know if I'm really your buddy. I know that for sure.
Oh,
so,
Mike, anyway, Mike,
Lou,
Mike, you're very
Mike sensitive.
You're so sensitive today. Like,
too
listen,
sensitive.
We
thanks for listening to the show, though.
We talked to you like this because you're playful. There's some give and take.
Mike, I'll say this, okay?
Last week, you cannot evaluate a team.
Mike, no
after
kidding,
one
Christ,
week.
I played baseball, for God's sakes. You write books about it, but I have opinions. Listen, you last week, we had a debate back and forth about how these linebackers and everybody they lost defensively was replaceable, in your opinion. I don't remember you saying that last year when they were on the Patriots. That was my issue with what you said last week, because you sure as hell don't say it when they're on the team. You say it when they leave.
Well, because they are replaceable.
Well, you didn't say it last year. If I told you Kyle Van Noy was replaceable and Dante Hightower is replaceable, you'd have laughed at me and said I don't know anything about football when they were on the Patriots.
No, it's
funny.
I said, well, who are you going to replace him with? But it's like when I said Gronk was bad 2 years ago. You know, everybody disagreed with me, and then 10 weeks later, everybody said, well, Gronk was fat. You know, I tell you what I think. I'm not trying to harbor what I don't, but I think every player, there's so many guys that play. You try to replace a guy in season is way different than replacing him in the offseason. That's an entirely different question. So for me, you know, look, Van Noy left. He decided to go somewhere else. He's replaceable. You know, I wish Hightower would have stayed. I wish it would have made him a better. But eventually, they got to replace. Everybody's replaceable.
How many fights did you get in with agents? I have a feeling that you got in a lot of fights with agents who you thought, who you probably assumed knew a lot less than you did. And then I have a feeling that there was a lot of contentious, you know, negotiations with you. Am I right? Or am I close, Mike, at all?
No, I was a deal maker. But I think, to me, I have no problem saying the truth. I say what I think. You know, and I'm not passive aggressive with it. I say what I think. It's probably been a downfall in my career. I probably should have been more political with my commentary. However, that being said, I'm not going to not say whether there's some agents, you know, I mean, the one good thing about agents, sometimes it gets easier to tell them no. You know, it's like it's easier to tell you no because you're really not making an argument that makes any sense. It's the ones that make sense with the argument. You know, it's like, look, do I think that David Andrews coming back made a big difference? Yeah, I thought I saw the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I do have an issue, though, with, like, what do you mean by saying, like, hey, Lou, ask Bill what he thinks about it? What is that supposed to mean? Like, why is that such
a challenge? Do the show.
If Lou is so worried about the right tackle position, if he's so worried about the linebackers, then he should say to Coach Belichick, hey, Bill, you know, I think the right tackle is going to be a massive hole for the Patriots this year.
When I ask him about how you lost every single linebacker and how do you replace that institutional knowledge and leadership, and he sits there and says, we'll do what's best for the team. I mean, that's, you know, Bill. I mean, so, you know, we can ask him whatever the hell they want. So I asked him about the linebackers and the people they lost. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, Mike. I'll tell him on Monday when they get smoked by Seattle that I think they're going to win 6 games this year. And we'll just, you know.
I would like you to do that. And he won't have a reaction to it, but I mean,
of course.
He should. That's how you think. I don't think they're a 6-win team. I don't see how you could watch that team if they're going 6.
So what did you learn? What did you learn from last week that you maybe you didn't know or anticipate before the game? Did something surprise you?
Well, I think it's Cam's healthy. There's no doubt. He looked healthy. Ran the ball. They did what I thought they would on third down. They got him. They got the ball in his hands. They were effective in the red zone, something that wasn't the case last year. They tried to play man against him in the red zone, double Edelman. They tried to double James White, and Cam runs for a touchdown. So I thought they played much better situational football than I thought they would be. And so early in the season, I thought their pad level was better. I was shocked that Sonny Michel ran as effectively as he did. Not that I think he's a great back, but I thought he was good in that game. And I was surprised by their ability to play defense. I mean, last year, look, they got a 24-20 lead with just about 4 minutes to go in the game, and the ball's backed up, and they could stop them with Van Noy on the field and with Hightower on the field last year. Fitzpatrick looked good, and I think they did a good job defending Fitzpatrick.
Okay, so they win the first game. How much of this is sustainable? They're going to Seattle. This is a high-powered offensive team, more run now than more pass than run where they've been in the past. Suppose they fall behind in this game. Where did they go?
Well, I think they rely on the arm of Cam Newton. They rely on the ability of Julian Edelman. I think when you look at this game and you see the history between the Patriots and Pete Carroll's style of defense, and I wrote a column about how Bill and Pete, even though they are vastly different in their approach, they're similar in their core components. And the Patriots understand how to attack this defense. Go back through it. Go back through when Hernandez and Gronk were playing tight end, and they lost in Seattle in a close game. I think Brady threw an interception in the red zone down there at that game. And then look at the Super Bowl, and then look at other times they played. They've been close games. They moved the ball effectively because I do think Josh McDaniels has a great understanding of how to attack Pete's scheme. Pete doesn't play just cover three. Pete plays a style of cover three that you have to truly understand how to attack it. Now, against Atlanta, he tried to run more zone blitzes than he probably has ever had during his time up in Seattle to utilize Jamal Adams' ability to attack the pocket, which he does really well. So the Patriots are going to have to block Jamal Adams. They'll have to get their hands on him and really do a good job of keeping him out of the pocket and keeping him from hurting their run game.
So, Mike, when you see Cam Newton last week, had 15 carries, I think 14, one was a kneel down. But with the RPOs, and they're talking about how many runs and week to week it can be different. But is that something you're comfortable with? I mean, with RPO, he might make that decision. He might have another 12, 15 carry week. Is that something he could sustainable?
I don't know if it's sustainable for 12 carries times 17, 16 games. I think that's a little much. But I think anytime they're going to play a team that plays as much man as Josh Poyer played last week, that did as many things as they did in a box, I think you're going to see them have to run a little bit to loosen it up. Now, Seattle's more of a zone team. So Seattle's going to have all their eyes on Cam. They're going to be able to focus. That's what they do. As soon as the shoulders turn by the quarterback, Seattle's players are breaking on the ball. That's what they're taught to do. So I think each week is going to be different. When they play the Raiders, he may not run that much, because the Raiders defensively, they'll struggle to handle just the passing game alone. So I think it's week to week.
So, okay, so now looking at Seattle, so you saw what the Patriots were capable of doing that first game. But then you see Seattle throw the ball all over the place. So what was he, 31 of 35? I mean, real efficient. And I feel like that's not what Pete Carroll wants to do. I feel like they want to ground and pound and really control the clock and play field position football. Do you think that they're going to continue to let him just throw the football down the field?
Well, they did the first half. He was 10 for 11 in the first half. Last year, Seattle was the 28th ranked team in the National Football League in rushing attempts in the first half. They typically like to establish the run. Last week, they established the lead. That was a little different. Do I think Pete will get back to trying to run the football more effectively? Carlos Hyde was the leading ball carrier last week. It wasn't even Chris Carson. So, I think so? Yeah, but I think they have to let Russell Wilson. He is, as what Bill talked about this week, he is one of the best players in the league by far. He makes plays. The offensive line has not been great, but he's been able to buy second looks. He makes plays down the field. He's pinpoint accurate. And what you do with Atlanta did at the start of the second half on that 4th-and-5 play, if you show him what you're doing too early in the down and he can get check into an audible. He knows you're in man coverage, and you're going to get beat. You're going to make a mistake, and you're not going to be able to cover those receivers. I think they're going to have to play a little bit of a chess match with them. But the key to the game, it all starts with this. They've got to do a good job of controlling him with their pass rush.
Would you say that Russell Wilson is probably the smartest or one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league right now, top three as far as play recognition, anticipating that whole thing, like the whole Tom Brady mantra?
I think he's in the top three in almost every single category. You know,
why no love? So why no MVP love? You know, he gets the All-Pro stuff. You know, the Pro Bowl stuff. But why no MVP talk with him? No numbers?
I got to think it's a little bit of how they have always kind of played up there. You know, as they focus with the run game. But for me, I mean, I think he's the MVP. I thought he could have been an MVP last year. Now, Lamar Jackson had a sensational year, and they fell 6 inches short of having the home field advantage. In the playoffs, they had to be a wild card team. So, you know, look, if he would have gotten that ball back in the playoff game, if he would have gotten that ball back against Green Bay in that playoff game, Seattle would have won. When Seattle decided to punt and win with their defense and gave up two key third down calls in that game, that cost them. And I think Pete's got to look at that and say, you know what, maybe I'm just better off putting the ball in Russell's hands.
You know, the other thing that happens, Mike, with the MVP voting is that everybody goes in one direction. Like last year, everybody, you only get one vote. You can't vote for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so you vote for Lamar Jackson. And so he could have easily been the number two choice for a lot of people, and you don't get him. I think that might
That's
be
right.
the biggest part of it. We're talking with Mike Lombardi. We're talking to Mike Lombardi, and I notice we're warming up again. We might be close to friendship. We'll find out by the end of the phone call. So I want to ask you about Bruce Arians. We heard so much about Tom Brady the last couple of years that one of the things that pissed him off, and these are people that were close to Brady, was that he did not get enough respect. He did not get enough love. He wasn't treated with kid gloves enough by Bill Belichick. So Brady goes out, throws two interceptions in the first game. Bruce Arians calls him out with the media in the post-game press conference, breaking down the two interceptions, claiming they were his fault, even though the next day he changed it to Mike Evans. And then later said, a couple days later, Tom needs a little bit more grit and determination next week in the game against Carolina. Are you shocked by this?
I'm completely shocked. I mean, you know, look, you know, first of all, you know, there was a lot more that just went wrong because of the interceptions. I mean, let's be real honest here. I don't even think New Orleans played their A game and won the game, and won the game going away. Did Tom play well? No. I thought Tom was really uncomfortable. I thought Tom didn't really have a feel for what they wanted to do offensively. I thought they behaved. They had all these guys they wanted to get the ball to, and they ended up getting the ball to nobody. And I think Bruce is better off having those discussions with his team and not in the media. But for some reason, Bruce has opinions on everything. So, you know, I'm not sure Bruce still knows whether he works at the Bucks or if he's back in television at CBS, because he has opinions on everything. And I think he's better off dealing with somebody like Brady in a mature fashion and go to him face to face and say, hey, look, maybe he wasn't as prepared for it. You know, maybe they were running a play that didn't fit the defense, because it sure didn't look like it to me sometimes. So I just think, to me, you got to treat the guy with the level of respect that he deserves, and you can call him out. You can hold him accountable, but you do it behind closed doors.
Yeah, and Mike, you know, we see it here in New England, right? Cam Newton's a quarterback, and he's different skill set, and they run a different offense. So I'm just curious, because it does seem like they went there and said, no, Tom, you're doing what we do. Doesn't there need to be more of a blend to instill some of the stuff Tom does really well rather than try to force that?
Been the biggest concern that I've had with him going there. Of all the places that he went or he was thinking about going, Tampa would have been the last one for me to recommend to him, because A, Bruce wants a quarterback who holds the ball. B, Bruce wants to throw the ball outside the numbers. C, Bruce wants to take shots, you know? And those are the three things that Brady doesn't really like doing. Brady's careful with the football. He wants to get out of his hands quickly. He wants to get him in the right play. He wants to have balance within the attack. I mean, they gave Leonard Fournette 5 carries for 5 yards. Do you have any idea what they were trying to do offensively after that game? Because I don't. So, you know, I think this is what they got. This is what Tom got into. And they've done nothing to cater to what Tom really needs in terms of having a control possession guy inside, attacking the middle of the field like he wants to do.
Yeah, the one thing I think I underestimated is how long it's going to take them to mesh and figure this out. Because just to compare it to Peyton Manning, when he left and went to Denver, I mean, I remember having the same conversations. Hey, you got to bring Peyton Manning's offense. I mean, Peyton Manning is the offense, but you have to bring that whole style of play. And I want to say, and I can't, to be honest with you, Mike, I can't remember, but I feel like it worked. I mean, because he was at a couple of those years, he was like MVP-esque until he got hurt.
Well, I mean, he installed the offense. He taught the coaches the offense. I mean, Bruce spent most of the offseason playing golf. Brady was down there throwing. Nobody, you know, they were playing golf. They weren't in the office. So, you know, I mean, Peyton installed the offense. Peyton taught the offense, but then he had Adam Gase there. He taught the offense to Adam Gase. They didn't run John Elway's offense when Peyton was there. They didn't run, you know, John Fox's or whomever was the head, or Gary Cooper. They ran what Peyton wanted to run. And that was the smartest thing. And it would be the smartest thing for Bruce, too, to run what Tom does. Because Tom's at the point in his life where we know he doesn't have much football left. I mean, we can talk about all the, you know, he's going to play till he's 50. But let's be real honest, that there's not a lot of football going to be left. And you should maximize those times he has left with doing what he does best.
I got 30 seconds for this answer. It's a betting question. New England is only a 4-point underdog. The gamblers are Vegas basically eliminating the home field advantage. Is that what's going on here?
You know, I think so to a degree, yes. I think there's a lot of action coming late on that. I could see that number going down to 3.5 before Sunday. But I think there's a lot of action coming in on New England that'd be late. That number over 3 makes it really tempting for people to play.
All right, Mike. We'll talk to you next week. Keep listening, by the way.
Thanks, guys.
I'm going to give the points, Mike. I'm writing out my questions for Bill, so I'm ready to go.
All right, good. So, see Bill on all those. Thanks.
Mike Lombardi on the Harbor One Hotline. That was good. I enjoyed that. Felt like we were in the Celtics locker room after last night's game. That was good. Very good. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back. We'll give our predictions on the game.